Welcome, welcome, welcome to Terrorvision Horror Podcast. Dan, we're back. We're back, baby.
We've been back for ages.
I know. How you doing? What you been doing?
So the other week was my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
I fucking forgot to bring your present. Damn it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was 46.
Oof.
I'm over, getting over the hill.
Okay.
And I got, as all 46-year-olds get, I got a Meta Quest 3. Those who don't know what that is, it's basically Facebook's VR setup, which used to be Oculus, and then Facebook bought that.
Yeah.
So it's basically like an Oculus 7, if you will.
I will.
Or an 8 or whatever. So it's awesome. You played it before?
I did. I played it before we started recording. It was so much fun.
Yeah, you played it, Drop Dead The Cabin, which is an AR game, which is an augmented reality game. So you can see the world. And it. I previously, before you came over, I set up the room so it knows where the room is and everything is, like the chairs and tables and the walls and the doors and windows. And it puts VR versions of that over it, and it's like there's like zombies trying to break into your house, and you go to your benches and you find guns and ammo on it and axes, and you can run around your house, and like, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it looked insane. So like the fact that, you know, I'm in your living room, and what I like about it as well, because I, as I've done with VR previously, you know, I've hurt myself because I've gone to jump on something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you can, it's set up, it's configured to your room.
Yeah, so, well, it is your room.
In your house. Yeah. So, and also I could still see, without it taking me out of gameplay, I could still see part of your house. So I could see Claire walking around. I could see Miles sitting in his chair. So there was no way that I was like in
amongst my walking. Yeah, it's just like these things are happening in your world. It's crazy.
It's amazing. And then like you walk up to the door and you look out into this world and
all the windows in my room, there's like a different world outside.
And then of course the zombies start coming in and you're like, oh shit, and I'm awful at video games, but
you get
better and better. It was so much fun, and I'm like, oh
yeah, I knew you'd like it.
Is there a I don't have a budget for it right now, but you know
what's crazy about it is I'm so used to the VR experience I had before, that was like PlayStation, the PlayStation one, the first one they did. Which, you know, you had a big headset on, you had all the wires coming out of it.
Yeah, and that's
that
easy
shit
to trip
on. This is like...
And there was no motion sickness. I'm someone who's prone to motion sickness. Nah.
Yeah, and I mean, there are non-AR games on it as well.
Yeah.
And you can... the reason I really got it is you can play Half-Life Alyx on it, and I haven't got to play that. And because now Steam has, like, an actual... there's an app on the Meta Quest that has Steam Link, so you can Steam Link shit straight into it. Like, it works perfectly. And, I want to... It doesn't have anything connected to it, like the old one. It is just the headset, which isn't very big.
No.
And that's it. That's the whole thing. Like, you can just put it on and it works. Yeah. Like, there's no cords. It's not... You don't have to log it into a computer. You don't have to put a game in, it's all in the headset, and then the chicken spot, and that's all the thing is, and it's fucking powerful, right? And I'm just amazed, and I love new tech when it fucking boosts, and this is a boost, like, going from the first, I know there's a new PlayStation 1, it's very good and stuff like that, but this is, like, full, just easy to use, and, like, you know, if someone else has a Meta Quest, they just come over, put it on, and you're both just in the same area.
Yeah.
Like, do they sense it, you know, when you're friends with them, because it's also linked in with Facebook and all shit like that.
Yeah. So if I wanted to play a game, so let's say I wanted to play Doom, could I play it through that and just sort of sit with a controller,
I
would in front of a TV, but I'm immersed.
I didn't show you that side of it, kind of thing. So yeah, the AR thing is you can sit down and have screens up, and they can have your browsers on there. You could be playing. You could sit there with Doom.
Yeah.
And you can wrap the screens around you and make them bigger and shit as well. You can sit there with Doom on a screen, and then you have a screen over just next to you that has a web browser on it with a YouTube video on it, and then you have one over here that has work on it.
No, that's too much.
And you can grab them with your hands and move them around.
No.
But they stay in that spot. So if you get up and go to the kitchen, come back, and then they're just over there.
Yeah.
And you can move them around, and you can, I have, because I always like people like, oh yeah, I did like 8 hours work in there the other day, and like.
What?
Well, you can use it as your computer monitors.
Yeah. No, I don't want to be that immersed in my work.
And
not even a little bit.
Yeah. And it's just like having a screen wherever you want.
Yeah.
Like, you could put it on, do the dishes, and put just a YouTube video floating above the sink so you can watch and do the dishes.
I do like that.
But there's no cords or anything to get caught into anything, and it's not. Yeah. Yeah, and shit like that. And the problem is at the moment it only lasts like an hour, but I'm about to get a new head strap that has more batteries in it.
You can
actually get like a, you know, you put a towel around your neck. Mm. You can get like a big battery, which is that. It just goes around your neck and plugs into it. Like, that's all right. And so.
Why not?
But yeah, this thing is like crazy. I got the most expensive one, which is 500 something gig.
Yeah.
Like big, because I wanted to put lots of games on there. And it was like $1,000.
So aside from whatever game it was that I played, which was
fucking heaps cheaper than the Apple one,
which was a lot of fucking fun, and the Half-Life game, what other games are you keen to try?
Oh, I've got heaps.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to most?
There's one called Aspire 2, which I've got, where you map out your whole house.
Mm-hmm.
So that is quite, it's like, you know, you have to go around every room, you do the border of your room, and then you trace all your furniture and you mark what it is.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And you can be, and you do room by room, you can do your whole house. And in Aspire, you can do an AR game where, like, dudes, like, SWAT teams come into your house, like, through the roof and everything. And you have to hide, and it's a full Metal Gear. So it's not just shooting. It's like, there is shooting in it, but it's like, if you shoot, they'll all come in and kill you.
Yeah.
So it's all like hiding in, like, your kitchen behind the benches, actually, like, being down there, getting out your device, your weird devices, putting bombs on wall, you know, trigger bombs, and, like, trying to get out of, like, and home invasion in your own house. Like, it's pretty full on.
Oh, that sounds,
I haven't set it up, and I'm looking forward to setting it up. Like, just like going through every room, like your whole marking, the whole where your roofs are. It takes a little bit. It's not the best menus like for it, but like they'll get better.
Yeah.
There's one on there called something's Wrath or something. Asgard's Wrath. I haven't looked at that. There's like, yeah, there's a whole bunch of games. My mates, the first thing they did, I got two mates that have got one as well, and they're like, get World Mini Golf. We'll play, and we can play it all together. It's online. So they all just log in and we're all in the same spot.
Yeah.
But that's not AR.
No.
And then you can just play all mini golf together in crazy mini golf. And it's actually just playing mini golf.
Yeah.
Because you've got an avatar that you can make what you look like and shit.
Yeah.
Which you didn't see either. And it's got, as I said, it's got Steam Link. So any VR games on Steam, you can use on there. So these games I'm talking about are just meta games. So there's a meta app on my phone, and there's a meta app which I can also, but like I can play Super Hot and all stuff like that's on there. But you can also just log into any VR game on Steam and use it straight across with the link. But that means you just have to have a computer.
Yeah.
But it still just links in like the Steam link. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So that's how I've been playing Half-Life Alyx. I've been fucking loving it.
Yeah.
That is horror, that game.
Yeah.
That is like,
You love Half-Life.
I love Half-Life and experience the world this close, like seeing the shit, like using the combine computers and just being there. And I haven't got any motion sickness. Like having the fucking tripod walkers walking over you and shit and then going down into the sewers and talking to the Vortigons and being like right there. It's like, whoa, this is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like, and the graphics, the game's 4 years old and it's still, I think, one of the best looking graphics games. Though, I saw it because you can watch people play it, like because my PC's there and I can see what they're seeing. It doesn't look that good in the screen.
Okay.
Like, because a lot of the views cut off, but also just didn't look that good. The textures, maybe it just doesn't like show it that good unless it's in in the game, the textures are fucking crazy. Like, it looks like real. Like, the thing you're in looked garbage compared to Half-Life Alyx. Like, it's crazy. Like, it's Valve going, you know, when Valve just fucking do it.
Yeah.
They just fucking go ham on shit. And they just went, the puzzles are all like, you couldn't even do them not in VR.
Yeah.
Like, how they work. Like, you just like, oh, fuck yeah, it's so good. Aww. The guns and fucking how it all works. There's fabrication, you can put your gun in and add bits to it and get it out. And I've got a shotgun in recent. You have to fucking click the shotgun down, put the bullets in, and then flick it up, like it's like a hand shotgun, and it's just like badass.
Yeah, like, right. I'm gonna need to play Doom, and I'm gonna need to play Maneater.
And the guy who's your guy, the radio in your ear, like your offset guy, is the fucking is voiced by the guy from Flight of the Conchords, the Murray guy.
Murray.
Fucking. And the guy, you know that actor.
Yeah.
And he's just being here, and it's all that New Zealand. He's full accent, full New Zealand. You know, they've got their own comedy, like they know. Yeah. It's, so not only that, you get the horror, you get the look. You've also got this like crazy, well acted comedy guy in your radio, going, ah, yeah, you can go do this. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, like just that full New Zealand humor where they just know it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Oh, amazing.
I can't believe no one told me that. Like, I knew a bit about Half-Life Alyx, but yeah. I didn't know he was in it. And yeah. I was like, when he came in, I'm like, oh my God, is that fucking Murray? And I looked it up. It's not his actor's name. I can't remember his real name.
But no, yeah. I can't remember. It's like right there in my brain, but I can't quite pull it out.
So. Yeah. And also, Sage was on just recently, a couple of weekends ago now, but I haven't talked about
what
it.
What is Sage?
Sage is the South Australian, I can't remember what it stands for, South Australian gaming event. I don't think
that sounds that. About right.
So the South Australian Film Corporation puts on like an indie game thing in Adelaide where you apply and you get to show your game off.
Mm.
And last year it was big, and this year like 2,000 people came.
That's great.
Right. And, you know, they broke into three rooms when you think about it. They had a room, they had two rooms for gaming and then a big area for like food.
Yeah.
Where before it was all just in one room. Yeah. The food and everything. And, yeah, we got to show off our, as part of me working for Catalyst Games, we got to show off Dungeons and Dining Tables, our cozy RPG furniture collecting, dungeon crawler.
Yep.
Where you play an axolotl and people fucking loved it. And,
well, yeah.
Yeah, and so, yeah, go check out that. Go, and if you want, you can join, like, there's like a Dungeons and Dining Tables Discord, Dungeons and Dining Tables like Facebook. So look up Dungeons and Dining Tables.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure. And you can see a bit of, you know, the work that I've done. I dressed and laid out all the levels and that. I'm also the art director. And, yeah, and then we've got a gun 3D team, got a gun fucking programming team. And, yeah, we put together this, we basically put most of it together in like, 4 weeks because we like we had a demo we took to PAX and then we scrapped it and started again.
That's all right.
With not completely scrapped, but
but scrapped enough. It's bare bones.
People loved it, man. Yeah, we got a mass. Like, we already got like 1,000 people on TikTok. We got like 300 on Discord.
Jesus.
And it's just like constant. And like, you know, we run a thing like, you know, take a photo at the booth with an axolotl and put it to, and like, people did it, man.
Yeah,
like, lots of people.
Well, I mean, it's an axolotl. People love the cuteness of axolotls, so.
Yeah, axolotls are hot at the moment. Yeah. Like 4 games have already come out with axolotls in it since I was like, we shouldn't use axolotls. No one uses axolotls except for that one game.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, Hive Mind.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. So, well, anyway, welcome to episode 162 of TerrorVision Horror Podcast. This is our more relaxed fit episode, and I am one of your hosts, Jennifer Strand, and joining me is my favourite limb collector, Dan McGuinness.
That's me.
That is your name indeed. Now, I thought we would do something a little easy this week. Usually I like to integrate them so they match with the film we've watched previously, but we want it easy. Chill and easy. So I've decided that we're going to do an anniversary episode.
Which doesn't sound easy to me. Like, what do you mean?
Well,
it sounds hard.
We are celebrating a laundry list of films, hitting their milestones and in turn making us feel old. So for any film that was released in 1974, celebrating 50 years, 84, 40 years, 94, 30 years, 2004, 20 years and 2014, 10 years.
Wow.
Do you feel old? I feel old.
Well, I don't even feel old. I've never felt old.
No, you never feel old.
I don't even think about age. Like, no. I really don't. Sometimes I'll just bring it up like when they say like, I notice that when listening to podcasts, I listen to podcasts about dev, like game dev, and they're like, the main question is like, he's Australian. It's called The Dev Diary. His first ask is like, oh, what's your first game you played and your first memory of games? And people are like, oh man, like way back on the Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
And shit like that. And I'm like, oh God. Yeah. And I like, thought of mine. Mine's really like, the ColecoVision.
Yeah.
My parents just bought it for me out of the blue.
Yeah.
For no reason. $700 in like fucking 82 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how much money that is?
That's a lot of money like for 82.
Back then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, look, $700 is a PlayStation 5 now.
Yes.
And like, they bought, yeah. And like, yeah. And I'm like, there's only been like one dude on there. It's like, you know, old Amstrad. And I'm still fucking way back. And I'm like, how can I be older than all the people in game dev?
Yeah.
But I am apparently.
Yeah, it happens. Usually we do pick 4 films each to focus on. Mine is going to be a lot longer because I like a lot of films. I'm celebrating.
All mine are from
the... I'm celebrating everything.
All mine are from the same... what is it?
Decade.
Decade. Yeah. As well. Because they're just like... And man, my decade had some fucking crackers.
Heck yeah. All right. Well, you kick us off then. Let me know, what is the first film on your list celebrating an anniversary?
1984, mm-hmm. The 40th anniversary, Ghostbusters.
Amazing.
Ghostbusters. Fuck. The new Ghostbusters stuff been happening now. Like, we had the girly Ghostbusters a little while back that came with mixed.
Very mixed.
Mixed reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fine. I watched it in the cinema and I actually got a chill down my spine when it was a cool moment. The problem with it is the theatrical version is not the one I've ever been able to find.
Yeah.
Because they did another version, like the one on Netflix or wherever it is. I think it's Netflix, isn't it? The Girls Ghostbusters one. Is like, it's got all the B-grade jokes in it and a whole extra storyline which was unnecessary and it makes the film fall flat.
Mm.
Like the whole film, it makes it fall flat because it's got this whole story of I can't remember the main character's name, Kirsten Wiig's character.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like having this and showing this story of her and this ghost and all this shit, which wasn't in the original one, which wasn't necessary. She mentioned it.
Yeah, she mentioned it and that's fine. All we needed.
But seeing it and it was this drag and it wasn't funny and it didn't seem to add anything. I can see where it got cut out. So putting it back in, I was like, no, this should have been an option to watch this about. But then they had all the B jokes, and so I was waiting for these certain jokes, and none of them came. And I'm like, hang on, that was the bit where it's supposed to say this other thing.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of them, and a lot more jokes, but they were taken out because they just weren't very good.
Yeah.
And then they got put back in, and so it just stretched the film out, and then just it muddied up the rest of what I thought was a really tight film in the end. And be like, you know, it's comedy. I don't give a shit. Like, yeah. I don't care. The girly Ghostbusters or whatever. I don't fucking care.
No, nothing. Like, nothing's ruined my childhood.
But the bit at the
Who
end,
cares?
I remember when I can't remember any of the other girls. The scientist one that all the girly girls like.
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah.
Yes.
When she brings out the double pistols with the whips on it, and it goes into slow motion, and it starts playing a version of the Ghostbusters song, like a more modern slow, and it, like, she's in slow motion whipping his guys. I was like, fucking, oh,
yeah,
this is fucking awesome. And like, I didn't get that in this new one because it kind of flattened it all out, that like that moment didn't seem as awesome. Like,
yeah,
it's weird. Also, it might have been I was watching it on a tiny TV, and that does affect you.
That always affects everything.
But like, I was overwhelmed in the cinema. I thought, this is fucking cool. I feel great.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I love a good use of music and
slow-mo. That's the thing about seeing things
not
in the
Snyder-y,
cinema.
Not Snyder-y, though.
Yeah. That's the thing about seeing something in the cinema versus seeing it at home. Like, it really can
change
how it is.
Because you remember these, like, grand moments, and you show it to your mate, and then it's just like, wah, wah, wah. And you're like, oh, that was so good in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, and I, when it was happening, I was so overwhelmed. And now seeing it on the small screen, I'm just like, oh, that's not that good. Yeah. I would have loved to have seen Nope in the cinema. I never saw it.
I saw Nope in the cinema and
that would
have
been overwhelming, some of that
so
shit.
So good.
Yeah.
I dragged Liz to it. She didn't know anything about the film. And then
did she love it?
She loved it. She loved it so much. And even like there was, a, you know, the sequence where
people don't know.
Okay. There's a sequence.
The big things?
Not even the big things. It's the little things in the barn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, get fucked.
Yeah. I leant over to Liz and I'm like, she's immediately like, get fucked.
Yeah.
And I lean over and I'm
me
like.
Me and her triggered by that shit.
Yeah, I'm like, Dan's going to hate this. He's going to love it.
Yeah.
Straight
away.
Yeah,
I watched No One Will Save You Again on the weekend.
Yes.
And I'm like, love it.
Yeah. Very good. So
that was still good the second time I watched it.
Yeah. See, that one should have gotten a cinematic release and
it just didn't.
It's
like a Netflix film.
So with Ghostbusters.
Yeah,
right?
Ghostbusters. Wait, I'm only talking about the girly one. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
And then there's like, what do you want to say?
Did you see Ghostbusters in the cinema when it came out? Or was it a
the
VHS?
OG?
Yeah. Your plant fell down.
I think so. 84. How old was I? I'm 78. So I was like 6?
Mm.
No, I wouldn't have seen it probably.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it, though, being real young. And I think I had a VHS of it. That's the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
And I know it's, like, fucking problematic as shit now. And they actually reference that in the latest Ghostbusters film.
Yeah.
When they have, like, it's in the after the credits scene where, like, Sigourney Weaver's zapping him. And she's like, you used to do this? Because the one who used to zap the women. And then she zaps him again. And he goes, yeah, I was a creep. Like, and I kind of like that. But, Yeah, I and I understand its problematicness of like the basically, you know, the main character not listening to know the entire film.
Yeah.
From a woman. And then she falls for him.
Yeah.
And it's Bill Murray. But I just love it. Like, it had so much that I loved as a kid. Like, just the idea. It's a gateway film. Like, it's not.
It's definitely a gateway film.
Actually, two of mine are gateway films.
Yes.
And from there, the real Ghostbusters cartoon. Fuck, I was obsessed.
I never watched it.
I loved it. Like, I taped them all, edited the ads out, like, watched them over and over again, had as many of the toys as I could, the slime. It just spoke to me. It was just science and ghosts and monsters and slime and it was just sci-fi and horror together and accessible to me as a child, like growing up in the 80s. And it was just everything. The Ghostbusters t-shirt. I've got like shots of me as a tiny kid, like going fishing in like the light, the sky blue t-shirt has the Ghostbusters logo on it and shit.
I'm pretty certain
they still make that.
I've got a photo of me in a Ghostbusters shirt as well. And I've got like, do you remember Happy Pants?
Yeah. What do you mean?
I've got like a pair of Happy Pants on or something. Yeah. I will find that photo.
Yeah.
I will post that photo. You should find your photo.
Yeah, I'll try and find the photo and of me we'll and post the fish. That photo. I do have it. It's inside. It's the real photo. You have to get a photo of the photo.
Yeah, no, because that's what I've got. I've got the photo. I've got an actual photograph because my mum gave me my photo album, my childhood photo album when I saw her not too long ago. So I'm sure there's something in there.
Yeah.
Certain of it.
So we're talking about 40th anniversary and stuff. So like the Ghostbusters are still going. There's a new one about to come out. And so like, when I had that COVID session I had recently, I watched all the Ghostbusters again. And I'm like, all of them.
Yeah.
All four. And, I really, really, I know people don't like, I really enjoyed that latest one, that Afterlife one. Mm. I was just like, it just felt good. You know, like, yeah, I know people didn't like it because it must feel like, I don't know what people want out of Ghostbusters, to tell you the truth. Because, like, people keep not liking the girl one. They don't like the new one. I'm like, what do you want? You don't want the legacy characters in it. So what do you want?
They want the original film. They want the original nostalgic feeling that they have for the film that came out 40 years ago.
And then that becomes what The Simpsons became. Like a film chasing what it used to be is worse.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, they did that. They had legacy characters in it. Sure, they did have the legacy characters in it. But I thought it was done kind of okay.
Mm.
Like, I kind of enjoyed, because they had, like, Egon Spengler, the real actor, died, and it was all massively about him kind of being dead. Like, and, like, them, you know, moving on from that and stuff like that. Like, he was dead in the film as a ghost, like, the entire time. And you've got, like, them calling Ray, and he's like, you know, he's retired into like an oddity shop, and it made sense. And I was like, yeah, he would do that.
Yeah, that just sounds like what Dan Aykroyd would do.
And I liked the idea that it had happened in the 80s and no kids knew that this ghost event happened because they just fucking don't give a shit. Like the internet, it was before the internet, so it didn't exist to them. Like trying to tell kids stuff about that happened before the internet, they just didn't. I mean, the world would be different. Like, as in ghosts, people would believe in ghosts.
Yeah.
But the Ghostbusters was like, it wasn't there were ghosts all the time. It was an event that happened, wasn't it? Like, Gozer created the ghosts. Is that what happened? I can't remember. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And but yeah, you're having the kids. And the bit where like they get the car out and they do it up and it just felt good. And when like they bring it out and I had that feeling again of like when they go through the town and like the girl is like she comes out on the seat in the car and they're destroying this little town. I was like, one of those moments again where I was overwhelmed. I was like, and as a kid, you used to like put yourself into the film, like, how cool would it be if I was doing that?
Yeah.
And I felt that again. I felt like I was a kid watching it going, oh man, how fucking cool would it be if you were to do that as a kid?
This is what I think the new Ghostbusters Afterlife is. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's not for me. It's not for those of us who saw Ghost.
It's for me because I liked it.
No, it is. But it's for a new generation of people, like kids, learning about Ghostbusters. So the fact that the main cast and it is a bunch of kids.
Learning about what happened in the 80s.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, I never understand that this thing ruined, you know, this movie that I'm never going to see has ruined my childhood. No, no, it hasn't. I mean, I'm just nostalgic for a particular point in time.
I've lived through my favorite franchise getting destroyed, which is the Hellraiser. Like, and I'm fine with every shitty Hellraiser film that comes out. I just go, another shitty one. But at least the franchise is still alive.
That's right. Like, and that's the thing. Like, we're introducing the franchise to a new generation of kids, which means that it's always going to live on. Ghostbusters.
And there will eventually be a fucking awesome film. It doesn't matter. Like,
yeah.
Jason X exists. Or like, no. You know, like you just go like, ah, oh, fuck it. No, I'm waiting for the good one to get made. Yeah. And there will be a good one. And, you know, sometimes you have to sieve through the shit. I mean, that's the Marvel Universe when you think about it.
I don't care about the shit
trying to find the diamond in the Roth movie every now and then.
Yeah.
But, and it's still all entertaining as fuck.
Mm.
But yeah, and there's this new one coming out called Freeze Over. What's it called? Or
I don't know. I haven't seen any trailers. I've got no information.
I've seen it. I think I've seen a teaser. It's all like an ice-based one. So okay. Like, I think New York gets frozen by a ghost.
I mean, look, I'm still going to watch it. I've watched all of them so far. And, you know, if I love it, I love it. If I don't, that's great. That's fine. Whatever.
And you got Paul Rudd. Is that the guy in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but he just seems to pop up in things.
Paul Rudd, he's like America's sweetheart right now.
Is he one of those?
He's also never aged.
Yeah, he's the unaging guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Him and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, yeah, both of them, unaging.
But why not? Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it goes by 40 years and it's still going. And I had so much affiliation with the toys and the cartoons and the merchandising and the fucking song.
The toys now from the Ghostbusters
anime.
An animated series.
Yeah, so they redid the original toys again.
Yep.
A couple of years back now, and I fucking went down to Toy World. I reserved them like a weirdo. Funny. Like, I don't do anything like that usually. No. And I got them, and like, just seeing them, I had these. I remember the feelings of like looking at these action figures when I was younger, like seeing them in the shop, and this sickening urge to want to play with these toys, and I look at them now and I get that again, like, and because there's lots of clear stuff and I love stuff that's clear.
Yeah.
And the ghosts are kind of semi-translucent and I like that in the toys. And, yeah, it was just the right time for me and the right thing, and it was Ghostbusters, the cartoon, it was toys, it was, like, everything I loved and it just worked.
Yeah.
And I'd make these gigantic, like, fucking, I had a big playroom kind of thing, like a lounge room that no one used apart from me, and didn't have any couches. It was just a space.
Amazing.
And I'd put down these giant, my dad would get these giant bits of cardboard from his work, which is flat cardboard. And then I'd get like boxes from like the supermarket and shit. And I'd make whole city blocks. Like,
yeah.
And I'd have one of them, I'd make the Ghostbusters headquarters. And like, you'd have like all the boxes that cut the backs out. So you'd have buildings and I'd make like the floors and, you know, the fucking Ghostbusters are in there. And then you bring in the slime. And the slime was like the cool stuff. But like the slime in the film was different from the slime you used to get. You know, the slime was just like goo.
Yeah.
And the film, like, it was dripping off like the library things. Like my auntie was a Nutramedics like reseller.
Yeah.
And so they had these giant tubs of this soap. And it was just the same, slightly pink, clear, exactly the same. So I would just punt, like, get a liter of this shit out. And go down and like, cause you know, the figures could get in the slime and slime. Yeah. And eventually my city would just start sagging down cause it would be like, you know, getting slimed everything. And ruined and I loved it. I had this like whole world that I made, like these cityscapes of New York.
Crazy the Ghostbusters. How like, you know, we went from being kids who we had toys, we created worlds with our toys. And then one day we just stopped.
Yeah. And also I think kids have stopped a bit as well. I think Lego still does it. Like, so Lego is still the savior.
Yeah.
I mean, those
Lego's dudes, Lego.
Yeah, but Lego like has like saved the youth.
Yeah.
They've created. They still get to be creative with their hands and stuff like that. And nothing else really does that now. Now it's, I mean, I'm not going to sound old, but like a lot of it is online. A lot of it's YouTube and a lot of it's iPad for kids nowadays. There's not a lot of dexterous toys. Like, I've seen young kids who don't care about toys.
Mm.
And I'm fucking boggled.
Yeah.
That's all I cared about. When and I that's toys.
A, you know, you had your favorite films, your favorite franchises, and you'd get the action figure. Like, you'd be like, I still have my Jurassic Park action figures from like 93. You know, we had Dino Riders. We had all these franchises because that's what they produced to us.
That's the money they used to make.
And I feel that now it's not that.
We had TV shows because of the toys. He-Man. Yes. Like, all those things were because the toys got made before the show.
Yeah.
And they were garbage, but we fucking loved them because they were simple and, I mean, this isn't a toy podcast, but,
No, but it's important. Like, we're celebrating. It's a milestone episode. And you think, like, once we start getting into.
Yeah, we're going to talk about.
To nostalgia. Ghostbusters and you know, how it made you feel 40 years ago, it's still there for you. Like, you know, you say these toys were released like 2 or 3 years ago. You went and got them because it gave you that feeling. Like, this is important. This is important to us. And I mean, even the toys that they're re-releasing now, and they will release, like, they re-release Migos. They re-release all these figures for these weird 90s franchises.
That we don't know. Biker Mice and shit like that.
Yeah, it's not kids that are buying them. It's people our age and just that little bit younger.
Nostalgia is fucking huge at the moment. Yeah. Like, it's just money. But it's also done really grossly a lot of the time. Yeah. But, nowadays, like, toy stores. I mean, like, the toy part in the department stores used to be, like, 15 aisles long.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, 4?
Yeah.
Or 3?
If that.
Yeah, you get, like, a boy line and a girl line and a Lego line.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like,
and a plush
a
line.
A young line.
And the line that's, like, games. The board
games are against
toys.
The wall.
Yeah.
Like, but where it was like a thing, I had like, you know, I'd go down to Marion and I had my route that I'd go. I'd walk across to here and, you know, go through like the John Martins and I knew all where I wanted to go. And like every Thursday we'd go late night shopping and I would, my parents would just let me go.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I would have my haunts.
Yeah.
I would have the whole place. I would go to like, you know, I'd go to Granny Mays and all shit like that. Remember that shop?
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I had all the places to go to, and I just don't know. I don't know. I assume kids still do stuff like that.
I just don't think,
like, you can let kids go off by themselves anymore.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's a thing that happens.
But, yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, Ghostbusters, fucking awesome. 40 years.
Damn.
40 years, and how many films?
4?
4.
5?
Nah.
No.
4.
With like, a fifth one in production.
With a fifth one coming.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, the top of my list has to be Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So this is 1974. It's celebrating its 50th anniversary.
Tobe.
And I fucking love this film. Like, I don't realize, I don't watch it as often as I would, like, Scream, which I also love and is one of my favorite films. But this is definitely one of my favorite films. It's got everything that makes me feel uncomfortable. Like.
Hot.
Hot. Sunny day. Dirty. Bloody.
Dried up blood and dirt.
Yeah, it's just so gross. There's something about it that's so uncomfortable. And that's what gets to you. It's like how uncomfortable a film
can make
you.
Do you reckon it was a fluke by Tobe, that one?
Yeah, look.
Because like his other films aren't on that level. And then, I mean, there's Poltergeist, but we all know that is so much Spielberg in Poltergeist.
Mm.
Because like it just feels like a Steven Spielberg film. And all the characters are directed and acting not like a Tobe Hooper film. They're all very much like how Steven Spielberg would do that kind of thing. And I know he hates that, I think I heard.
Yeah.
Or something, or maybe even Steven Spielberg said that, like, yeah, it's my film.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I think, yeah, that's pretty much why. But this is his, you know, this is his film. That's his opus. And I remember I was always into horror when I was young, and I think I didn't watch it until I was a little bit older, like in my early teens. And I just remember I got it. I still have the same copy. Like, I still have it on DVD. Mm. I don't have it on VHS. And no one was home. I bought it. I'd come home and I was like, fuck yeah. And I just remember sitting in the lounge room, empty house, and I'm watching it for the first time. Like, you've got that opening sequence with the corpse, you know, up on the gravestone.
Yeah. It's like on it?
Yeah, it's like impaled on it.
Yeah, on a grave, like his butt?
Yep. Like, and
up his butt, a whole gravestone? Like,
oh, God damn. And then they pick up the hitchhiker, and then that's a nightmare.
It's a very,
in itself.
Like, dirty, like, like, it's got a scent to it. Like, you can almost smell the film of, like, the hot, the heat, the rotting.
Yeah.
And yeah,
which, and just like, all the behind the scenes like troubles that they went through, and the fact that they couldn't get this one thing right, so he cuts her in real life. And you know,
really?
Yeah, yeah. There was like the dinner table sequence, and the whole thing like is such an easily avoidable
situation.
Did
he mean to cut her?
Yes.
She let him?
Well, she had no choice. He's like Gunnar Hansen. He's fucking huge. You know, just keep going. But, you know, and Leatherface has become such an icon as well. And the film itself is easily avoidable if you didn't trespass on their property. Like, you know, Leatherface's character is so sort of torn by what is happening in this film. Like, that we can sort of see. And I love that it spanned all these franchises except for the McConaughey one, of course.
I've only ever seen the McConaughey one.
Yeah.
And number two.
That's number two is great.
Is that Tobe?
Yeah, it's Tobe.
See, film there is a Tobe Hooper film.
Yeah.
That's what a Tobe Hooper film is like. That's why I'm like, why is this one so different? Like, was there someone else on the film also like a Spielberg there kind of like...
I don't think so. Chain? So he was brought into a 3-picture deal with Canon, and one of them was Life Force. The other one was Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which came out 10 years after Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then the other one, I think, was Invaders from Mars, which I haven't seen.
I fucking love that film. Did he do that?
Yeah, he did that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a gateway film. I loved that film as a kid. But it had a scene in it that I couldn't watch.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. It was just a lady that turns around and she's eating a frog and it's in her mouth. And and I just couldn't handle it as a kid. Like, and I saw that one quite young.
Yeah.
But Invaders from Mars is like, I loved that. Like, I drew like the fucking aliens in it are stupid looking.
Yeah.
There's like a fucking like hive mind one at the end. But it's all like, it's like a kid wrote it. It's like aliens land behind the house. He sees it coming down, and then people in the town start acting weird. And it's the whole thing of like the kid's the main character, so it's a child, so it's a kid's film basically.
That's great.
There's no violence. This is, and then like his parents like start acting weird, and he's like, and as a kid, like, oh man, you can't trust your parents. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then everyone like they see them, they get like drilled into the back. They drill a drill into the back of their neck, and they can control the humans.
Mm.
And him and like a school teacher like discover it, and then they just call the army, and the fucking army comes.
Yeah.
And then it's like the army versus the monsters. It's like full just going in military into their fucking ship and just blowing them all away with guns. Fucking awesome.
Sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll add it to our watch list.
Yeah, I've often thought about it as a but it's like it's not a horror film.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right. It's like a horror film like Ghostbusters is.
Yeah, yeah. We do what we want to do.
But there's no comedy in it. It's just like, it's a gateway film.
Yeah.
It's a film that wouldn't get made now because they don't do gateway films anymore.
Yeah, no, they don't. They do not.
They've done like the Goosebumps film.
Yeah.
And like stuff like that. But they're like kids films. They're in the kids category. Like the Ghostbusters and fucking Gremlins and fucking the Monster Squad. They were made for kids and they were horror films.
Yeah.
Like.
Very much so.
Yeah. They were ones where like not every kid could watch them.
Yeah. Well, you remember watching like The Neverending Story and being completely destroyed emotionally by the freaking horse in the mud.
I always think about The Neverending Story because I fucking loved it. And I've told you my story that I got ripped off. I saw it in the cinema and I thought it wasn't going to end. I thought I just had to go home eventually. And it ended, I was like shattered. And it's not even a long film. I was like, fuck yeah. Because I hate the end of films. So I always wanted films to keep going. And that's why I was like, I don't care about long films. I always want, if I'm enjoying it, I want it to keep going. Yeah. And, the thing that I remember the Neverending Story the most is the nothing, the concept of it. And it was just fucking wicked. And, like, that big wolf in it that's, like, fucking would be a bad guy. And even he is just, like, given up. Nothing's coming. And, like, just shit like that. And they just, like, realize that they, like, the Rock Eaters, they just can't do anything. Because, like, it's coming and you can. And it was an overwhelming doom that I was like, fuck yeah. That's the thing that got me in that film. I don't give a fuck about the horse.
Yeah.
Well, it's just a horse, but the idea of like that doom that you can't stop and like
hello depression.
Yeah, yeah. And the girl, the childlike princess.
Yeah,
childlike. So she wasn't childlike, but she loved him. She was like he was like 7, and like it was weird.
Yeah, it's weird. But child that's love. The '80s for you.
Yeah. I mean, those cock rock, those like 80s metal bands, they sing about some real dodgy shit,
eh? Oh my God, do they? Well, they've been doing that for years and years. That's what I mean, you think about the Big Bopper, he's like, you know, you're 16, you're mine and what? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, shit like that. Where
yeah,
they?
It's crazy. But yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, still to this day, it's one of like anytime merch pops up for it, I'm like, I'm just going to add that to a collection and just add that to a collection.
Are there any other good ones? Like there's like Leatherface movie, there's the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes or whatever.
Look, I like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Are there any
remake
that are in canon? Like nowadays, like is there a number three? There's a third one.
Yeah, so there's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Texas Chainsaw three. Massacre 2. There's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, which has Viggo Mortensen in
it. It's got a massive chainsaw in that one. Yeah. Is that one? Yeah.
And then there's The Next Generation.
Is
and
a lot of them just Leatherface's in it and none of the other like family? Like the ones after it? They just like they just jumped on Leatherface and went, let's just do Leatherface films? Or was it
no,
always,
no, no. They,
was it always the
it's,
same
it's all
kind
about
of story?
The family. Like,
yeah, cool.
The family's just as important. I think we did get one film where it was like his origin story, which... I don't want an origin story all the time. Like, I didn't ask for it. You don't have to give
yeah,
it to
you
me.
Yeah, because you don't need it. Yeah, yeah, a lot of the things.
That's
like,
what makes
not
them...
knowing that like, the mystery is more yes. scary. And yeah. when they show it, you're like, I don't care now.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of how he got like that, I was just like, I'm fine. I can yeah, work
I
that
don't,
out.
Don't need
especially
to know.
Especially when
they
have got that weird mum that lives in that fucking water world place.
Yeah.
Number two.
So, I mean, I really enjoyed the remake because that came out at about the right time and I was really getting back into horror in my early mid-teens. I can't remember how old I am. And then, you know, because that was – it was loud. It was also really dirty. There was a lot of vomit. There was a lot of – it just – it felt dirtier and more mean-spirited than the original one, which is what I like. Because, of course, it was like post 9/11, so they were really amping up the body horror and all this kind of shit. So that worked for me. And then all the others are just like, they happened.
Mm.
I don't really care about the new one. It was fine. Didn't love it. Didn't hate it.
It's called Texas Chainsaw. Is one of them just called? Just that?
Yeah.
Not Massacre? It's just Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah, I believe so. That's or weird. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They just dropped the I can't remember.
There's one called just Leatherface.
Yes. Yeah. And there's one in 3D. There's a few in the franchise, and I believe they're going to be making
And they're all everywhere. So. They're like the Hellraiser franchise. Yeah. They just don't make sense. Like, other people are making them. Like,
definitely.
Do whatever you want.
But yeah, this film has stuck with me. So even if I don't watch it as much as, you know, something like Scream, which I will always go back to because I fucking love Scream, this is still one of my all-time favorite films. It's just got everything I want in a horror film that makes me feel very uncomfortable. So,
and comfortable at the same time.
And comfortable at the same time.
Yeah.
What's the next one on your list?
My second one, same. 1984. Year? All mine are from 1984, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I just picked them quickly and then I just looked and went, wow, that must be my year.
Yeah.
So 40th anniversary is Gremlins.
Yes.
I fucking love Gremlins and yeah. I've always loved Gremlins and no one seems to care that much about Gremlins anymore. There's only been two Gremlin films. And they just went like, that's it. And then they announced a new film recently and which turned into a cartoon.
Yes, the Mogwai cartoon, which I don't know if it ever got released.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever watch it because it just doesn't sound like any, you know, it might be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it might be, you know, you can make awesome, you can reboot stuff and make it awesome like that Ninja Turtles movie, that Mutant Massacre. I fucking love that.
Yeah, that was really good.
That's Seth Rogen. I fucking love everything he does. So,
yeah, same.
And you can tell he just like was the same as me. He's just someone who fucking loved it.
Mm.
Like, and, yeah, Gremlins is a fucking good one for me. It was, like, it came at the right time. It was all around the same time. So, like.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, I saw that in the cinema. I did see that in the cinema. And I remember being so fucking scared when the eggs opened. There's, like, you know, in his room. And I think that was the only time I was really scared in it. The rest was just, like, fucking, like so intrigued.
I mean, this is also considered a gateway horror film, but it's very brutal.
The mum scene is
the
so fucking great. The kitchen scene and then the whole mum scene. Like
you've got the girlfriend with her sad
oh my God.
Dad story. Like what?
That is one of the most brutal stories in any film. Remember they pay it out in the second one?
Yes.
The second one like people hate and I fucking loved it.
I love that one. We did that as
like,
an episode.
That is like 1,000 Ks an hour, that film. Yeah. It is like animatronics going fucking off.
We get more gremlins. We also see that they are happy to make fun and make light of themselves. It's not
yeah, they're
a problem,
like a Deadpool
like.
Character almost. Yeah, in yeah, that yeah. They're aware they're in a film. I mean, they fucking ruin the film halfway through. They like smash the cinema.
Yeah. And, you know, Hulk Hogan has to come out and be like, yeah, shut up, guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's so weird. And, like, it just had the best puppets, I still think, nearly, apart from Freaked.
Yeah.
But, like, so many on a scale that's so big. And, like, all of them, like, no matter how close they were, that fucking talking one, the smart one, like, you watch it, man. Like, its mouth is perfect. Its eyes, everything. It's all, it's like, and it's, and like, sure, they're not moving around heaps. You can tell that their puppet's sitting down on a thing, but still, man.
Doesn't matter.
Like the burping, like the fruit one. I don't know how they did that, some of these, how they turned it into, it must be like balloons that pop up on it.
Quite possibly, yeah.
And shit like that. And like the spider one was okay. The bat one was okay. And the massive coincidence out of all of New York, it finds Mr. Futterman.
Yeah. We like Mr. Futterman.
Dick Miller.
Dick Miller.
And then, but yeah, like just going on that thing, the electric one, which was animated, like just all of it, it's fucking chaos.
Yeah.
And it just makes, you know, like there's so much Gremlin Massacre, the fucking elevator scene where she smashes it. And they all, like, she doesn't destroy them, they fuck themselves over.
Yeah.
So many, like, they smash up through the wall and she gets out. Like, just, yeah, brilliant. Like, and then the first one, obviously, like, fucking the mum scene, like, I'll never forget that as one of the best like monster like swarm movies ever. Like that scene where it just starts with her like walking in and like it's eating the gingerbread man, it's like, and it's full eating it, like the puppet was eating it, like with like drool, and it's like looks around, it's like the full growl, and like whoa, that's a fucking thing. Hey,
I was really,
she blenders it, like it goes into the mix master and she fucking, and then it says violence from then on. Like, she microwaves one, sprays fucking fly spray into its eyes and shit, and like, and then like stabs one up, like full psycho stabs one. And it's not, and it's in the background the whole time, writhing in agony with a knife in its guts. And it's just like, whoa, head chopping off scenes. And like, that is a thing.
Yeah.
And there was the whole thing about the baby, the kid who put his, tried to put his brother in the microwave from watching that.
Oh my God.
In like the, in America, whatever. Of course. Yeah, the big news story.
Of course, but like, there is.
That scene is like, and it's a woman. It's like a fucking, she reminds me of like Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Like she even looks like her, but it's like taking on, like she's the only one who takes on that many gremlins in one go kind of thing and actually kills them. Like the rest of this.
Oh, I was really lucky because, like, I mean, I remember seeing Gremlins. It would have been, like, I would have been really young, like, 7, and it would have been the very, very, very early 90s. And it was just on VHS, and we watched it, and I just remember being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And then
Mr. Wang's Wings, like, shop at the start, which is, it was always that thing I was always confused in growing up in Australia. I didn't understand that Chinatown is so big in America, and it's like China.
Yeah.
And like, so, the, you know, that's set in China. Like Big Trouble in Little China set in Chinatown. And I'm like, I don't get it. Are they in China?
Yeah.
How do they get to these places? And I, just seeing that. And then the dad was an inventor, and there's all that crazy weird, like the orange juice. And like, so that added this other element in it. And you can tell, and you know, it's a Spielberg film, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can tell, like, it's got those, like, the family.
Steven Spielberg Presents, I think it's directed by Joe Dante.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But it has that vibe of, like, that era of, like, creating the good, the whole family.
Yeah.
And, like, knowing the characters and the dad who comes home and gives, you know, and it's got all that thing. It's set at Christmas, so it's a Christmas film. You got fucking young Corey in it.
Yeah, you got a young Corey.
I don't know which one. Hang,
before he became Michael Jackson.
Yeah. And then, yeah, just like, it just worked. They're taking, like, they take the one to the thing. And then the whole rules. Fuck, rules. Were there rules like that in things before Gremlins? Like that, like the whole thing, don't feed before midnight, don't get them wet, sunlight kills them. Just doing what Death Note did.
Yeah.
Like, well, Death Note copied that. Like, just in setting these rules in the world, so you're just like, oh, that's the rules.
Mm.
And then seeing how you can bend and break them, or even if you do break them, and then you're like, suddenly water becomes a fucking enemy. Like,
yep.
And like, which I never understood how they, like, how the gremlins walked around in snow. They didn't. And like, cause it was, and didn't
goddamn
multiply.
Yeah, you're right.
But,
oh, shit.
And then they were evil kind of thing, but they were like, they understood. They were just like, they wanted to do bad, but they were fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like they had fun, like when they go to the bar and all that shit, and they hurt themselves and they'll shoot each other and they just like don't care.
Yeah.
Like you can't scare them. Like, unless the sunlight. They just don't like that. They've run away. But, like, yeah, they were fucking awesome. And just, yeah, wow. Such a good film. People, and I just can't believe, like, number one, I can't believe they didn't make a heap more.
Mm.
I think because Gremlins 2 did so badly that they just fucked it off.
I mean, it was a packed house when they did it for Bonfire, so.
Oh, yeah. I saw it in the cinema.
Yep.
And the bit where, like, as if the Gremlins have fucked up the actual cinema.
Yep.
People in the cinema went, oh, as if they thought the fucking reel had fucked up. Like, I remember hearing, and I thought it as well.
Yeah.
Because it, like, it has, like, a couple of flicks and flashes before it's happening when they're talking to fucking, what's his name? The low voice guy? Christopher. The guy's in, the fucking Saruman character from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, like, Christopher Lee.
Christopher Lee is, like, the scientist in it.
Yep.
And they're talking to him and there's, like, a couple of, like, as in a real slip.
Yeah.
A couple of minutes before it. And then, like, you don't notice it. You just actually think it's a real slip. And then, like, the whole film stops and burns out and the light comes through. So you're in a cinema and it's just an all-white screen with the sound of, like, you just think it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And then you see the little shadows of the gremlins behind the screen in the cinema. It looks fucking great.
Yeah.
Did you see the Bonfire Club?
Yeah.
Did it give that cool vibe? Like, it looked like it was actually fucking up?
I don't even remember, but yeah, probably. I don't remember what I did yesterday. Come on, man.
But, yeah, that. And then there was the merch. So the merch was weird because, like, it was aimed towards kids. There were toys and that, but they were far and few between in Australia.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember seeing, like, these toys that you could get, and I really wanted them, and I was, like, more. And it's the same intrigue because it's all the same years, like, the Ghostbusters and all that.
So,
like,
well, I remember the toys. Childhood doctor's office had a little Gremlins toy, and I would always play with it whenever I was there. I'm like, this is cool.
I had the tape book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those, like, hear the chime, yes. Turn the page. I had the Gremlins one of that.
Nice.
So I used to listen to that all the time, and, like, this, and it was just, like, photos from the film and then, like, just saying what happened. So I, like, it was like I could just watch it again real quick. But, yeah, man, I loved that. Like, there wasn't as much merch here for Gremlins as there was, like, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And but I have my, like, was it NECA? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got the NECA Gremlin, which has, like, the skateboard and the chainsaw.
Yeah. So, yeah, perfect. Yeah, like, I think
Spike one.
Gave the prize. It was one of the NECA Gremlins, like, but the cinema one. So it comes with the popcorn and the cigarette and the 3D glasses and all that. It's really cool.
Because you've got that Gremlin in it. There's, like, the one that, like, in the bar, there's, like, you know, it just cuts over to the brooding gremlin. He's like, the jazz one that's for no.
The beatnik.
Yeah, and then, like, the other gremlin comes up with puppets. It's going, and then it, like, laughs, and it's going, and it's like, and then he just shoots him.
Yeah.
And that laugh, that, I always do that at people. No one knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, they're so chaotic. Like, I love them. So but they weren't chaotic in a too stupid way to me. Even though they were in the second one, but I still liked them. The weird ones, like the animatronic, like other Mogwai, like the crazy one with his eyes are going like laughing all the time. But he's like the bit where he becomes the dentist. Remember, he's got him strapped down. He's got a dentist drill. How terrifying.
Yeah, right.
A crazy person with a dentist drill trying to drill your teeth.
Yep. No. No, thank you.
Gremlins.
So good. All right, the next one on my list is Black Christmas, also from 1974, celebrating its 50th anniversary.
What is that? Have we done that?
Black Christmas. We've done that as an episode.
Oh, there's so many. We've done a whole bunch of Christmas.
Yeah,
ones.
It's the Olivia Hussey. It's like the group sorority girls that are being.
Yep, I remember.
Yeah, getting the dirty phone calls, and it just turns out that the killer's inside the house. Like,
it's coming from inside the house. That's right. It's the one the screen plays on.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, what I love about that film is the director, Bob Clark, I think I'm getting that wrong. I need a coffee. He directed one of my favorite Christmas films of all time, A Christmas Story, which is such a stark contrast to what this film is. And it's such an iconic. This is like proto slasher. This is like really one of the first films that had all the slasher tropes before slashers became a thing. So it holds a really important place in horror history and in slasher history.
Both our second choices are Christmas horrors.
Yeah, that's nice. I mean, I don't really have too much more to say about Black Christmas because I didn't watch it when I was young.
I remember I was amazed and I was like, oh, this is what the precursor to like Scream and all them. And there were so many scenes that they did in it that have been done in other films that I didn't realize that it like referenced this film.
Because everyone believes, like everyone thinks like, okay, the slasher genre happened with Halloween and then it really kicked off and like hit that oil slick with Friday the 13th in 1980. So this film coming out in 1974 was the first film, aside from like Peeping Tom in like the 60s, that really goes with that slasher thing. So this is just as important, like I say, it's just as important now as it is as like, you know,
and it's one that
Halloween
so many people wouldn't have watched.
Yeah. And I'd
forgotten which one it was just then. I was like, which one's that one?
Yeah. And I mean, I didn't watch this until a lot later. So, you know, I didn't have the experience of watching it when I was young and getting real into it. I didn't watch it until probably when I was at uni.
Well, this year is also Silent Night, Deadly Night's 40th anniversary.
Another Christmas film that we have covered.
Another 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fuck, 84. They really came out, didn't they?
It's a great year.
Man.
Great year for horror. All right. You've got another 1984 on your list.
So both my next ones I didn't watch when they came out.
Yeah.
I was too young and I watched them after. So my next one is 1984.
Yep.
40th anniversary. A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes, which was the last Bonfire movie. Packed out. They had to do another session. It was amazing.
Yeah,
glad to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, and I watched it again recently. I'd seen it in fucking ages. I couldn't remember any part of it because I always just go to number three.
Yes, yes,
you do. I start at number three because I just like that one so much.
Yeah.
And but this is like, as in itself, like this was a massive one. This is like, because he's one, like Freddy Krueger's one of the big five. Is it five of them?
Leatherface, Jason, Freddy, Pinhead.
There's another one. I think sometimes, yeah, for a while in Fangoria, there was like Pumpkinhead was in a bunch of all those. Like he was considered one, like the monster one of it all. Yeah, it's four, but yeah, actually, it's more just like, you got Jason. Oh, Michael Myers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
How could I forget Michael Myers? One of my favorites.
Jason, Michael Myers, Texas Chainsaw, Leatherface, and Freddy Krueger. They were the big four.
Yeah.
And the start of one of the big fours. Like, you can't really go wrong. Like you can't overlook that, in my opinion. And then the craziness of that fucking film, man. Yeah. Like,
and he's not even in it for that long.
And he's dumb in it.
And he's dumb in it. He's getting hurt by shit. He's
running around a pool like an idiot.
That's the second one. And that's where his personality starts to shine a little bit more. But it's not Craven and it wasn't all the original writing. They wanted to, you know, capitalize on the success of the first one. So that almost killed the franchise. But that's where we get to see more of the Freddy that we know and love, like the more, you know, bantery and witty and like, you know,
you got
whatnot.
The body and I got the brain.
See?
That scared me when I was a kid and he pulls the top of his head off, his own head.
Yeah.
So also I liked about Freddy, he wounded himself on purpose just to show like, what are you going to do?
Like,
to me?
I don't care. Like, you can't hurt me. I'm hurt myself. See, bam, here go my fingers.
Yeah, the finger
went, like,
yeah,
you know.
First they tried to kill me. When you go through the ways they've tried to kill
him. Yeah, back in Freddy versus Jason, like.
Yeah. I just keep coming back.
Keep coming back.
Yeah. And the idea of like a child murderer and the parents are fucked up and the kids are all it's just a good like horror base. Like that's a good one. And yeah, and they made this man, he wasn't much in it, was he? Yeah.
He really wasn't.
Remember. But then you got all that shit like the room. Where the room that they turned upside down and had the blood and it fucking in real life electrocuted someone.
Yes.
Because they were like the globe was real globe that they poured. Yeah, and just I love those like old when you see them on those like what's that? That In Search of Darkness.
The In Search of Darkness.
There's like 5-hour docos that they've got where they go through every year and of like horror and just talk about every. They got find all the people that made the films and they just talk and all of them are like back then man like
didn't have safety
and they all tell stories about like occupational health and safety fuck ups and like that night when I was at one it was like when they spun the room around it was just. It's just what it was, like.
Yep. I mean, look, just because I watched it recently as well, like Ronnie Blakely, I think that's her name, who plays the mother, she's in a completely different film to what Nightmare on Elm Street is. And I love that. She is fantastic in it because it's so bad. And she's just so satirical with everything she does, her oversized vodka bottle and everything. It's just so funny. Like, I love it so. And the fact that Nancy's there and she's just like, oh, yeah, good night, mother. And she pulls out the coffee percolator from under the bed because her mum wouldn't have smelt that. Like, there's a lot of ridiculousness to it. And the soundtrack is so
good. Well, it's just
good.
80s of how an 80s teenager would think.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely great. Yeah, I remember
Johnny Depp.
Yep. Introducing Johnny Depp. I remember watching this on, again, VHS. Very, like, probably very, very early 90s, like 90 maybe. My brother had hired it from the video store and I wasn't allowed to watch it because it was too scary. And, you know, as you do when you're a kid, I like
snuck out,
stood at his doorway and I'm like, oh, what's happening now? And then, you know, there's another step into the room and then, oh, there's that bit. And then eventually, like, my mum comes to check on him
and
I'm just
there?
Sat there like, oh, this is the best. Because I always remember the VHS.
Did she kick you out?
No. No.
She just gave up?
Yeah. I remember the VHS, the back of the VHS had the
centipede lady?
Yeah, Tina with the centipede coming out.
It's so weird because it's hardly
like,
in it. Like,
yeah. I'm like, but that image is weird, just in my mind. And it's in your mind because it was on the back of the VHS.
Yeah, because you used to look at it and stare at it.
Yep.
I remember like it came out and it was back in the times. You remember like video shops used to paint the fucking, the movies advertising on the thing? You know, paint, you can just scratch off.
Yep.
So they do that and just get that removed, and they didn't put posters up. Like they do a whole thing. There was one of that in like Sejuna when I was staying with like my auntie and uncle and cousin, and it was like no, and it had like the crow with the, I think the blood coming out of its eye or whatever, and it said Nightmare on Elm Street. And at that time, I hadn't seen it. I didn't know fucking anything about it. But I was the dude from the city who always like had to be cool. So I just said, I've seen that.
Yeah,
I lied. And like my auntie went, you shouldn't have seen that.
She's on the phone to your mum. She's like,
yeah.
She
goes, you haven't seen that. I said, yeah, I have. And I'm like, she goes, what's happened in it? I went, heaps of stuff. Like, I lied. I still remember that moment.
And she's
when
standing
I,
there going, you fucking little liar.
I still remember like that moment as
Yep.
Yeah, I'd do anything to be cool. The cool city kid.
Yeah.
Once I like went out to dinner in a denim jacket, but I refused to wear a shirt underneath it. So I just had a naked little boy with a denim jacket on at dinner to be cool because I thought that was rad.
That was the cool thing.
That's what I thought was cool.
We all thought we were cool guys back in the day.
But yeah, 40th anniversary, Nightmare on Elm Street. Fuck, man, such a good franchise. Like, you know, like it goes up and down. Like the Dream Child is whack.
Ebbs and waves of that one.
Yeah, and then I like Freddy's Dead and I like Wes Craven's New Nightmare. I think they're great. I think Wes Craven's New Nightmare is a great ender for a ridiculous 80s franchise kind of thing. That was in the 90s, wasn't it? Yeah,
yep.
It was 3D. 90s. The use of 3D, like, in a way where weird. Like, I don't think I've ever been to a film where they're like, put the glasses on now.
Yeah.
Because that was that kind of thing, like.
Yeah, not all films were done, like, properly in 3D, so they'd be like.
So they thought you probably couldn't handle it.
Now's the time to chuck them on, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And, just the idea of that. I'm kind of. Can you get a 3D, like, Blu-ray version of it? Like, where you can watch it in the old 3D glasses?
Maybe. Maybe. I think, like, maybe.
If you have a 3D TV, which no one cares about anymore.
Yeah. I think back in
those days.
I just
don't like 3D.
Days. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need anything to put me off, like, the experience of film. Like, that's not what a film is, the 3D experience. That is, like, me looking, like, I don't want to be watching a film and looking up in the corner because I can see, like, there's depth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I don't necessarily need 3D. I want full immersion. So, like, thinking about that MetaQuest, I'm like, what could I watch on that? Like, I could.
Do you know what's cool about the one of them is like, if you have like your mates come over and you've all got one, you can sit at the table and you can play board games in it that don't exist, but the board games are all alive. So you can play like a you can play like, you know, like Hero Quest in it kind of thing, kind of game, and you can pick the characters up and move them, but when they go next to things, they fight the characters and shit like that.
Yeah.
So the dragons that you're in it aren't just like. Like, it's still a board game and you roll the dice and you move your character manually and shit, but they're all moving and interacting and the world's moving and you can twist the board around and the dragons are, like, all animated. I'm like, that's fucking cool. There's also a thing on there which is a Lego building one where you have every piece and you can just build whatever you want and they come alive on the table.
Oh, my God.
And shit.
That's too much. It's too much.
It's good.
It is good.
But, yeah, the board game stuff looks rad. Like, I'm like, I don't mind playing that. Like, just... But you know, it's the whole thing, like, everyone needs a Quest, though, to play it.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably could play it online with your friends, but, like, why would you play a board game online? And you have to wear it. But that's fine. If you were all there together, that'd be fucking heaps fun.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a fucking heaps good board game night. Like, yeah, playing it on them. You all hear it as well. And, like, oh, yeah. And, like, the board moves along. So, like, it's still a board, but it, like, moves and it changes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And stuff can, like, grow bigger and smaller. And, like, oh, fuck yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like, if you pull a card, like, because you have cards as well. Like, and they're just not real, but you can pick them up and hide them, put them face down. And,
yeah.
And, like, that can, you know, you can play that spell card and something happens in the board game. Like, it actually happens. I'm like, that's fucking cool.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I want full horror immersion.
Oh. What, really?
Yep.
What, in MetaQuest? Fuck that.
Yeah, like, I would sit there and I would watch.
Be a Texas Chainsaw one where you're just getting, like.
No, I just want to watch the movie.
Strapped to a table.
I would watch that. I would do that. No, I would like to just fully, because I'm all about immersion. So, like, when I watch films, I've got a beautiful big TV. But if I really want, I will sit in the dark on my laptop with my headphones on, noise cancelling, and I'm just, like, in the film. So if I'm wearing a fucking MetaQuest and there is nothing around me at all but the film. Oh, that's the dream.
Yeah, because you can grab the screens and pull them up, them and make them go around you and shit. Yeah,
that's it. I don't need other things. I just want the film. You haven't tried those?
I haven't tried any video in it. It's fucking clear as day. Like, the menus. I'm sure the video would just be video. Yeah.
All right. Well, the next one on my list, it was empty, but I, thinking about it in between our conversations, I have decided to put The Crow in there.
I'm looking at The Crow. I thought you might.
1994, so 30th anniversary. And the reason I put The Crow on there is because it played a significant part in, like...
Fire it up.
Yeah. No, because I remember, like, every couple of months I would go and I'd spend the weekend at my auntie's house. And it was like she would take me to see films because, like, kid films, because she didn't have kids. And that was great. I get to hang out with her. And she is like this really cool person. So a lot of my music taste, a lot of, like, movie stuff, it all came from her. And I remember, like, hanging out at her house and she's like, oh, do you want to check out this film? And she pulls out a copy of The Crow. And so it would have been like 95 because it was on VHS. And it was one of those.
I would have been probably late in that because shit took years to come out on VHS.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'll have to.
I might have been, yeah.
Maybe 95, 96. I don't know. But yeah, just watching this film and, you know, she's telling me all about it. She's like, oh, well, this is Brandon Lee. And, you know, aside from being super dreamy, he dies in the film, like in real life, this poor guy.
And he's Bruce Lee's son.
And then, yeah. So this is where I start to get information about films. I'm like, huh, I like learning about films. And just, like, it was just contrast, like, dark, gothic. The soundtrack's really good.
I haven't watched it in years.
And it's got that very 90s grunge goth feel to it. And I'm just like...
It's like the idea of what every gothy teen kid wishes he was.
Yes.
He's like the amalgamation of every, the projection of what they wish they looked like.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Like... After watching
the right amount
film?
Of brood and as well. And yeah. Like,
so yeah. After watching that film, I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was goth.
I wish that my girlfriend was murdered by a gang and then kills me and then I get to come back and just without her.
Yeah. Well, because he's avenging her. He's avenging her.
Mm.
Yeah. No. And I remember, and I found it the other day.
It's a comic.
Yeah, well, I found, I remember one year I went to the Royal Adelaide Show and they were selling posters and I got a poster of him and he's, like, sat at this table.
Is that one like this? Like, yes. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like fingers, he's like doing his stank face almost.
Yeah, why do I know that poster? Someone else I know has got that.
I found it in, like.
There's, like, bullets on the table. And, yeah. Yeah, it's like in.
Yeah, and he's just looking and he's all dreamy and I'm like, oh, man, that's laminated and everything. So that's how serious I was back in the day. I'm like, fuck yeah. And also, you know, I bought it going, yeah, I'm dark and broody and kind of, no, I'm not, none of those things.
Yeah.
But still, so, it, you know, that play. And then I went through a period of time, most of, like, primary school and into high school, where I was, like, the bootlegger.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew how to bootleg VHS. So you bring me a VHS, you bring me the money to hire the film, and I'm going to, you know, I'm you know, you give me a little something extra, and then I will bootleg the film. You've got the film.
Can't everyone do that?
I don't think people knew how to do it. You had to have two VHS players. You had to know how to do it. So I don't think people knew.
Yeah, right.
But I knew. So that was one. That was one of the first films that I hired and bootlegged and would just be on my heavy rotation. Like, oh, I'm just going to put a film on. It's going to be The Crow.
Yeah, right.
I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah, I can't remember any of it. I remember where he's running over the rooftops at the end. It's not him.
Yeah.
Because that's like the double. I remember Fire It Up.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
And the story, I know.
The mum's like a junkie.
Nah, can't remember her
can't
at all.
Can't remember that. Nah, no.
I still don't. Even if you've shown me that, I still don't have that in my memory. It wasn't a massive thing for me. I wasn't really into the goth scene.
Yeah.
It is a goth scene, though. It's kind of like a time capsule because, like, the goth scene isn't like that anymore.
No.
Yeah, like, they're quite different. I find goth these days are, like, kind of punky, but they're also, like, they're kind of like computer goths, as in the internet plays a big role for their identity, where there wasn't the internet.
Yeah.
So goths were fully into like poetry and like shit back then, and the darker novels like H.P. Lovecraft and shit like that.
Interview the Vampire, Anne Rice, that kind
yeah,
of
shit
thing,
like so. That. And like my friend, she was a full goth, like with the docks and go hang out at the coffee. What's that coffee place that they reopened recently?
Like, I don't know.
It was like upstairs and it's just all about coffee and like that's where the goths used to go back in the 90s. And it was like, was it called the Coffee House, the Coffee Bean, the coffee?
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, can't remember. And but it was like, it's still there now and it's still like the same. They just reopened it, but it's like more of a club. It's all like velvet red and shit. And like, and
coffee's going to stain.
She would go there and like drink coffee and write poetry and shit and wear her docks and be all goth makeup. And
yeah. And
now she's like, you know, a mum and an author and selling heaps of books all overseas.
I mean,
like,
congratulations to her. Fuck yeah. Goths can do it. You can do it, goths.
Yeah. Well, she wasn't goth. Yeah, but like, and I like the idea of goths back then. They were all like, yeah, they were just like poets, really.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, the world didn't understand me, so I would just.
Well, you look at Eric Draven, like his character, you know, he had his band, he had his music, and then he had his the love of his life. He lost that, and so all he had left was the music. And the soundtrack to The Crow is really good as well. So,
but then you get like Trent Reznor. Yeah. So you get the Nine Inch Nails vibe. Yeah, and that was kind of gothy as well. Like that was like industrial.
Industrial goth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I that was cool as well.
Yeah. That was before nu metal became the thing for horror films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what music Nine Inch Nails is like when I think about it. It's like, it's just like kind of like hard metal.
Yeah.
But like electronic and metal.
It
like,
changes though, because Trent Reznor, he
has all the melodic shit
things,
as well,
so,
and soundscapes.
You know,
I like him. And he did the fucking Doom. He did the Quake soundtrack.
Yeah.
And because he loved Doom, because who fucking doesn't?
That's exactly right. All right, let's go. What's your last one on your list?
My last one, 1984. So what did you say what year that one was from?
Oh, yeah, sorry. So The Crow was released in 1994, so it's celebrating its 30th anniversary.
Yeah, sick. My last one is Terminator, 1984.
Terminator.
Fuck, man. Ghostbusters, Gremlins, Nightmare on Elm Street, Terminator. That is the thing. Like, there are some more others as well that I was like, oh.
We'll run through them. Yeah, we will.
Okay, you have to give them their kudos of their birthday. Terminator. Once again, I didn't see it. I saw it on television, so I saw the modified version first. Like,
yep.
For those who don't know what fuck we're talking about, like, who are young, born from 2000 onwards, like, we used to, when they put stuff on television, horror films, instead of just not showing them, they would modify them.
Yeah.
So the modified version, so they would take out the violence, they would, like, take out the swearing, or they started getting into, like, changing it. So they changed, I think they did it first with Lethal Weapons. They
edited
changed every
for TV.
Yeah, they changed every fuck to frig. Do you remember frig?
I remember.
And then everyone just said frig from then on, and then, like, that became a bad word. Friggin' hell.
Oh, man,
I don't give a frig.
Frig.
But, frig. Yeah, Terminator was one of those ones, like, I believe they, like, modified, like, the bit where he cuts his eye out with the scalpel in the...
Yep.
So Terminator 1, so you got... Who got the guy that plays Reese, that actor? Don't know. It's a lot slower than all the...
I mean, I only remember... I've seen Terminator. I know I have. Because my brother, like most boys... went through a huge Arnie phase. Like, he had to watch all the movies. It was like, it was all about Arnie.
I still do shit like that.
There's nothing.
Jason Statham phases. I just watch all their films.
There's nothing wrong with that. But So I remember watching Terminator with him, but the one that I remember the most, because it was came out at the right time for my age, was Terminator 2.
Yeah, because that movie is fucking crazy good. Yeah. Actually, I saw a thing the other day online where it's like, you know, like about Terminator. And it's like, you know, I just watched Terminator again, and like the whole, like, you know, robot coming back from the future. That's not the bit I can't believe. The bit I can't believe is like a tech billionaire.
Yep.
That finds out that AI destroys, that he makes destroys the world, and he's happy to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Instead of making money. And yeah. I'm like, ooh, that's a, yeah.
It's not wrong.
Because that's what's happening now. They keep saying to these state billionaires, don't do it. It'll fucking up the world. And they're like, nah, but like,
it'll be fine.
But I need to make money.
But we'll have enough money to get through it, right?
Yeah.
You can throw your money at the cyborgs coming to kill you. That'll save you.
But yeah, I thought that was a good take on it. I was like, I hadn't thought of it like that.
Yeah.
But Terminator 2 is like fucking, and we can talk about Terminator 2 because it's part of that whole franchise. It's still going on. And there's a whole bunch of them. Terminator 3, Terminator Genesis, Terminator the other one, Terminator recently.
I know. Haven't seen any of them. Didn't I've watch seen the them Sarah all? Chronicles. Didn't watch any. I don't watch that. It's not for me.
I love the Terminator, the idea of the Terminator. A fucking robot covered in flesh that you can shoot in the gut, the flesh.
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like, I really enjoy the Terminator 2, and yeah, I like and the concept and whatnot. But
like, after the Liquid Metal Man, there was nothing better you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there really wasn't. And then they tried it in the latest one where they made the Liquid Metal Man that was covered on a normal Terminator. I'm like, that's worse. That's worse than the T-1000. That's like a shitter model because like it's still relying, like you can still fuck it up. Like, and I'm like, And then I had another one. I can't remember what the latest one was. There was one I watched. It was okay. I think it might have been the most recent one. There was like the Genesis one, which was like kind of shit, like in the fact that like you couldn't stop Skynet. Like the idea that was like no matter what you did, it was always a loop that was always going to happen. I was like, well, that makes all the movies moot. Like, everything anyone's ever done,
yeah,
completely like not necessary. And I'm like, yeah, that's a bad writing, bad writers. Like, you know, same with like Alien 3 when they just kill off fucking all the characters that survived in Alien 2, and you're like, but the whole point was to get them through,
yeah,
and they did, and now you make the whole last film completely void, like it doesn't matter anymore because they all died,
yeah.
In the opening scene of the next one, I'm like, just because you don't want to put that in your film, like,
yeah,
yeah.
But this was also like this was the start of Arnold Schwarzenegger's like movie career.
Yeah,
and he's such a fascinating human being. The fact that this is now the film that he's gone and done, he's created a franchise for himself. Everything.
What is that? It's weird that he got. Like Predator, fucking huge. Predator, just one film's got Arnie in it.
Yeah.
That's the first one. Never came back. They mentioned him in the others.
Yeah.
But like, he never came back in as even a cameo in any of the other ones or any of them.
No, he wasn't necessary. And he had Terminator, like.
Yeah.
You know.
But Terminator, fucking. I'd call it a sci-fi horror, definitely.
Yeah. Like. Yeah, it's got elements of horror in it.
The horror of the human race ending and shit. And like,
I mean, look, it's dystopian and that's horrific. Like,
you don't see much of it in the first one.
No.
You're still thinking of the second one with like the thing rose over the skulls and shit.
Oh, yeah, no. See, that's the thing. I don't have any real recollection of the first one. Like, I'm like, everything I remember, I'm like, oh, yeah, this bit. And it's like, nah, that's Terminator 2.
Yeah, the bit that I remember is like the eye cutting out. He cuts his eye out with a scalpel and then like, puts the glasses on.
Yeah. No, everything I remember about it is actually just Terminator 2. That's terrible.
But yeah, he was relentless and it was like scary. Like,
oh, that's the thing. Something that cannot be killed that is continuously chasing you. Trying to track you down, trying to kill you.
But it was like, you know, they always end all the Terminators since the first one, except for even Terminator 2. They always end in a fucking factory.
Yeah. And well, the only way you can kill a Terminator is factory work.
It's factory work. I'm boring them to death. Like, tell them they like don't like smoko's cancelled.
Yeah, nah, no smoko. They
explode.
Fucking smoko, mate.
But yeah, like all of them end in a factory. Like most of them. I'm like, don't end it in a factory. The latest one ends in a factory. Like,
do something new. Do something where it doesn't end in a factory and the Terminator wins.
Yeah. Because they melt him in number two.
Because I remember the thumbs up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it. So I'm like, oh, that's number one, right? No.
No, it's number two. It's number two. They reference that in Spaced and he's like, I am sensitive. I am emotional. I cry like a baby with like Terminator 2 with the thumb and... Yeah, I like that. Fuck, I love Spaced.
I haven't watched it in such a long time. I need to rewatch it.
Like one of our bonding shows that we found out we both loved it, we bonded better. You know those shows?
Yeah. I actually have a friend who we bonded and became friends over our love for Angry Beavers. You know that Nickelodeon
show? Yeah, I remember that show.
Yeah. Don't know. It's one of those things. So the last film on my four list film. Now, the mentions list is quite lengthy, which we will get to. And, of course, there's a lot of really good classic films on that. But I thought I would celebrate the 2014 10th anniversary of Zombievers.
10th.
The 10th anniversary. I'm like, fuck off. So this is a cabin in the woods kind of film. Like, these kids go up to a cabin in the woods, but unfortunately, the local dam, or like the local river, has been... a lot of toxic waste has gone in and the beavers that live there and dam there have become mutated and zombified. So then they now enter and start attacking these teens in their cabin.
Why haven't we ever done this as an episode?
Oh, we will. Because this is schlocky. This is puppetry. This is, it's still, like it's got gore. It's got nudity. It's got everything you want. This is a 1980s film made in 2014. And I love it. I remember watching it with a friend and then it just became like this huge inside joke for us. And I think we got together like every couple of months and we'd just rewatch it because it was so stupid and so much fun. Everything about it is good. Every time anyone remotely references or brings it up, I'm like, you're talking about Zombievers? I'm in. Let's talk about
it. There's only one though, isn't there?
I think so.
Hasn't started a revolution.
No, I don't think it did. It's not like we're not talking like high budget quality filmmaking here. We're talking about some puppet beavers that are attacking people.
So I guess you just have to talk about experiences.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like a lot of the celebration of these films that we've discussed throughout this whole episode has been how we felt the time that we were experiencing them. And it was just a time for me where I'd come out of a really bad relationship. I'd met some new friends. And then one of those friends, we started bonding over horror films. And that helped me kickstart my love of horror again because I'd come out of this relationship where I was really uncool for liking horror and I just stopped watching horror.
Yeah, I didn't give a shit about it.
I needed to be that person that wasn't a huge fucking losery nerd who liked horror films.
My life is like, there's a big like 10-year gap. 10, 15 year gap where the party took over me.
Mm.
Anything I liked, anything I was into, anything I used to be into, gone. Video games, horror movies, everything. Collecting, anything was just gone.
Yeah.
It was all about the party. For like 15 years, all I did was like drink like four nights a week.
Mm. No, I didn't really do that. I did all my binge and drinking and partying.
I never turned into an alcoholic. I just, because no. It was the party was I was addicted to. It wasn't the booze.
Yeah.
But I thought people liked me more when I drank because they like, these people, they weren't my friends.
No. Well, and this is the thing. I don't have these friends.
Well, they were, but like they weren't. Because as soon as I stopped drinking, they all disappeared.
Yeah. People come into your life for a reason and then they leave. So I'm not friends with any of these people now, but they obviously came into my life at the right time. I got back into my love of horror and then the rest is history. So Zombievers will always hold that little place.
Zombievers like the linchpin that got you back into it.
Well, yeah, one of the few films. But yeah, definitely. So always hold a little place in my heart. But yeah, so that, let's go into our honourable mentions because like I say,
talk about too much, yeah.
Like I say, there are a lot of really good films that are celebrating birthdays.
Can I just say the one on here, I just want to, I'm going to go straight down the list. The Babadook.
Yes.
10th year anniversary. I'm like, get fucked. I fully thought it was like 2 years ago.
No.
I thought it was like me and my wife went and got tickets to that and watched it like a couple of years ago. I would have said, I can't believe it's been 10 years since The Babadook came out.
Yeah.
And I saw it referenced in The Simpsons. They did a whole one of the new Simpsons episodes is a whole Babadook episode.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
And it was so interesting.
Simpsons is so good. Episode 32, season 32 is like the best Simpsons since like season 8.
Mm.
Like, watch it. I know like it's been like 15 years and Simpsons has been shit.
Yep.
But it is like crazy good. All new writing team, all new concept of why, of what, looking at the Simpsons in a totally different way.
Yep.
Like, return of like good, slow paced, emotional stories with good jokes in it, not just like 1,000 jokes a second that make the show, break the show. Like, character building, like, fucking not trying to be its old self, like, just trying something new. It's so good.
Well, you've got to reinvent yourself. Otherwise, you get stale.
I mean, after 32 years,
shrivel up. Watching the we watched The Babadook not too long ago, again, for the Bonfire Horror Club, and one of the producers actually came out, and so it was really cool to listen to him talk, and one of the questions asked was, is there going to be a sequel? And he straight up said, no, the writer, the director, she's not going to allow that. Not going to happen. It doesn't need to be something perfect. Because it is something for someone at that time. Like, it doesn't need to have a franchise. It doesn't need to be a huge horror icon. This is a very important film all on its own. That's where it needs to be.
Yeah. And the Babadook himself isn't, he wouldn't work again. No. Like, especially when you
because that's not
yeah it was it,
someone's it, traumatic experience and how they manifest it into an entity is not going to be the exact same for every fucking person because everybody is different. Everybody experiences their mental health in a different way.
You hear that, Silent Hill? The nurses did not need to be in any of the rest because it doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah,
because that's what they were his trauma of like, the fact that they're in the other ones, I'm like, what do you mean, you dickhead?
I mean, you could probably do another film similar to The Babadook with a similar or a different thing, but it's not going to be the same. And
it won't be as good because...
Well, no, because The Babadook is a fucking classic.
Yeah.
It is a classic now because it's 10 years old.
10 years.
It's fucking 10 years.
Yeah. And so I'll read some of these out. So The Phantom of the Paradise.
Yep.
1974, 50th anniversary. I don't fucking know what that is.
It's really good. It's got Garrett Graham in it. He's the dad from Terrorvision, the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 40th anniversary of The Toxic Avenger. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we should do that as an episode soon.
It's a long film. Or maybe it just feels long.
Possibly.
Man, I was obsessed with Troma for a while.
Yeah.
I did all the Troma at the time that we're out. Like, this is in the 90s sometime.
Yeah.
I think the latest one was Sergeant Kabuki Man.
Oh, yeah, I've got that on TV.
Or maybe, no, Tromeo and Juliet, I think.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yep.
I like that one. I reference that all the time. I know what I'm talking about.
I haven't watched that in years. Since the 90s, I reckon.
Fucking 40th anniversary of Chud.
Yeah.
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Yes.
Firestarter,
1984, 40th anniversary. Drew Barrymore.
Nice.
Silent Night, Deadly Night, 1984, 40th anniversary. Interview with the Vampire, 1994, 30th anniversary.
30 years.
Dan's personal favourite.
Funny Man. From 1994, 30th anniversary. Fight the Movie's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Cemetery Man, 1994, 30th anniversary.
Weird fucking movie.
I watched this film with you. I watched it with you. I watched it with Ross, who you work with, and I don't remember a goddamn thing.
It was just, like, weird and strange. Yeah. It's like...
It's a Ross film. Like, he'd give that a 5 out of 5.
Maybe. I remember us liking it at the time, but like it was just like odd scenes. Like, I think it breaks into music at one stage or just shit like that.
Yeah.
In the Mouth of Madness.
Yes. 1994, 30th anniversary.
Shaun of the Dead, 20th anniversary. Get fucked.
Yeah, I know. Are we starting to feel old now? Dawn of the Dead, 2004, 20th anniversary. Saw.
Wait up. Oh, Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, the remake.
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
No, sorry, remake.
And that didn't come out the same year as Shaun of the Dead. Yes, it did. Yes, the remake.
Saw, 2004, 20th anniversary.
20 years of Saw. The 20 Saw movies. Don't they bring one out every Halloween?
There's 10. There's 10 of them.
So every second year they bought one out.
Pretty much. Seed of Chucky, 2004, 20th anniversary.
That's so weird. Seed of Chucky.
It's the one that everyone, like, hates but secretly loves.
That's the Bowie one, isn't it? The kid?
Yeah, the Glenn Ocklander. Curse, the werewolf film, 2004.
Babadook.
Babadook. Clown, 2014, celebrating its 10th anniversary. This film's really good. So this one's about a guy who he's, trying to organize his kid's birthday party and they need a clown. He obviously doesn't get it done in time. So he goes out and buys a clown costume. This clown costume, however, is a little bit haunted, possessed, and as he puts it on, he realizes that he cannot take it off.
A little bit haunted.
And once he starts to, like, he can't take the wig off, so he ends up having to cut it to match his hair. The nose won't come off, so he starts trying to rip it off, and he's just got blood gushing
and
down his face.
And who's the clown? Eli Roth.
He's becoming the clown. Produced by Eli Roth, but not directed by.
But he's the clown as well.
He's not the clown.
Frothy the Clown?
Yeah, I don't think Eli Roth played him.
I've just looked it up on...
I don't think that's accurate. The internet is not always accurate.
Yeah, okay.
It Follows. 10th anniversary.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it?
That was good film.
Tusk underneath. The worst film. Why'd you even put that on there? You're a dickhead.
Hey, no, you got to appreciate Tusk for Wolf Cop 2014, 10th anniversary.
I've never watched Wolf Cop because a customer, which is my most racist, horrible customer, came in and with a DVD of it. Not so long ago, it's not even not my customer. This is when I was working at another comic shop.
Yep.
He won't come into our shop because it's like full of all gays, he reckons.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of those dudes.
Them gays.
He's old and like has like...
Oh, it's like my brother being like, oh, yeah, one of my mates. He's got like a swastika tattoo, but he's a really good guy. And I'm like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
He's a dickhead.
Unless it's like it's not a swastika.
No.
Yeah, and he like bought him Wolf Cop, so I just went, yeah, I'm never watching that. And now it's like a good movie, and I'm like,
It is a good movie. It's really good, and it's really funny. You should watch it.
And then...
We'll make it better. We'll make Wolf Cop better again.
Make Wolf Cop better? Take Wolf Cop back?
Yeah, we're taking it back. And then, of course, we've got Wormwood, which is an Australian film, 2014. 10th anniversary. I remember seeing this in the cinema. I'd gotten free tickets and I took a friend. We had cocktails before, so we went in kind of drunk. And it just made the whole experience a lot more.
Is it like a Mad Max-y kind of
thing? It's kind of like a Mad Max zombie apocalypse movie where they're like trying to science the shit out of some zombies.
Because they did a second one.
Yeah.
Apocalypse.
The guy that directed it, whose name I completely forget, he's actually doing the new film.
Kaya Rosh Turner?
Yes. He's doing Sting, which is the new Arachnid film that's coming out this year that's looking
shaping
up to be a really good film. So
yeah, it had like a cross between like analogy. Like, this Arachnophobia crossed with something
Evil Dead Rise.
Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah,
it's got that kind of like tongue in cheek like horror comedy part bit of it in there. Like,
yeah, that's
and then they'll make noises that, like, you know, like,
and it's great because it's an Australian film.
Oh.
Well, it's Australian produced. We've got Australian actors, but then it's also set in New York.
The spider
in it is a redback.
I don't like the name because spiders don't sting you.
They bite you. It's the girl called it Sting. She's named the – she finds this spider and she loves this spider.
The musician?
Yeah. So she's named the spider Sting.
Would you love a spider?
I don't know. You could love anything if you try hard enough.
Oh, shit. It looks like – yeah, it looks like a big spider movie.
Yeah. I think it's going to be big this year. It's probably going to be one of the bigger hitters. It looks like it's going to be a bit grotesque, and I'm all for that.
Well, if it's got the... You know another one called Demon Runner?
He did Necrotronic too.
It's Demon Runner, sci-fi horror. Oh, it's a short.
Yeah, because Necrotronic, he somehow managed to get fucking Monica Bellucci in it. How do you get Monica Bellucci in a film? She probably needed the money.
I don't know.
That's fine. I got a couple that I've added to my watch list because I haven't seen them and by now I should have. Brain Scan, which we are doing an episode on next. So I pushed that forward. There's a 1994 film called Mosquito. I like a bug horror.
We did bug horror, didn't we?
We did bug horror. We've done Ticks, but we've not checked out.
No, as in like
Mosquito.
A whole episode on bug horrors. Yeah. We might have missed that.
Yeah. And then a found footage film from 2014 called Creep, which I still haven't seen and has become quite the cult icon classic thing. So I need to put them on my watch list, which is ever growing and ever sad.
And that's the end of this episode. When you hear the chime.
Yeah, but please turn the page. Ding, ding.
Skip the podcast. No, don't do that.
Don't skip the podcast. Listen to the podcast.
Don't forget to grab your tickets to the next Horror Bonfire Club. Am I doing that? Yeah. which is American Werewolf in London on Friday the 29th of March. And this shit always sells out. Like, it does. Yeah, when you know, you're saying, don't forget you buy your tickets. It's not us going, oh, fuck, we need to get people and bums on seats.
No, it's like, you will miss out.
It's an actual warning. And you'll be sad. Yeah, actual warning.
Yeah.
And also, you got to prepare your wallets because the Comic and Toy Fair is back in town.
Yeah.
On Sunday, April the 21st, TerraVision will have a stall there.
Yes.
Greenlight will have a stall right next to it.
Yes.
People will get confused and not know where our stall starts and stall ends.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. And yeah, so come down to that. It's always good.
Mm.
Comic and Toy Fair. It's not just the Toy Fair. It's the Comic and Toy Fair. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking huge. Yeah. There's hundreds of stalls now.
It's getting bigger.
It's not hundreds. It's nearly 100.
I'd say it's like 100.
Yeah,
at least 100.
Yeah, actually, I think there's way more than 100 tables.
So many. And it's not just comics and toys. There's also local artists, local content producers, that kind of stuff.
So yeah, it's almost turning into like a convention.
It's a nice little Adelaide thing. So like, not to say that everyone who's doing whatever they're doing is small, but you know, people who are writing their own and self-publishing, like they're there and they're showing off their stuff. People who just make cool things, like they're there.
Yeah, whole artist alley section.
So it's really nice. It's really nice for Adelaide community to once again come together and support each other.
Yeah, and also just want to thank the people that have been listening to us and supporting us over on the old socials, you know, interacting with us one way or another over the past while. So we got Neither News, Palace Nova Cinemas for the Bonfire Club staff. These are like the sponsors. Underground Records, Black Match Candles, Vicious Video, Galactic Video, and Greenlight Comics. They're the sponsors. And then we get people like Chris Franks, William, Ian Westwood. Hi, Ian. Robert Thomas, Tsunami Hija, Adam Gillespie, Patrick Roberts. There's a bunch more of you out there as well.
Mm.
There's heaps more, actually.
And our mums.
Our mums.
Always
we should
mums.
Update that list, I reckon.
Yeah, we should. I should. That's my fault.
There's like an Emma person.
Emma Duran?
Yep.
Yep.
And stuff like that.
Yeah.
You've been listening to TerraVision Horror Podcast with Dan and Jennifer. Check us out on our, you know, our Facebooks, our Instagrams. Next episode will be up in 2 weeks. So, check that. I should check what that date is. I can't remember.
Yeah, we'll sort that out.
Yep. So check us out. And the new episode will be up in 2 weeks, which will be the spoiler cast episode. And until then,
may all your dreams be nightmares.